You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 2nd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this beautiful, beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area, and tons to get to on the show this afternoon. It's guest heavy, as it is most Thursdays throughout the college football season, high school football season, and more. So much to get to here this afternoon. Christian, happy Thursday, sir. How are you, my man?
Man, it's hard to be doing better than this. When you're finally beginning to feel the fall weather again, when you can actually wear a little bit of clothing and feel okay with it, it's absolutely incredible. And I know we've talked a little bit about it. We're hoping to not continue to jinx it, but maybe the more we talk about it, the more it will stay the same of what tomorrow night could and should feel like for high school football, with Lee Scott Academy back in action, taking on Dadeville on the road, and Auburn High, a really big game at the Duck against Central. We're going to hear more about that here coming up later on in the show. We're starting off talking a little bit of basketball, and halfway comically, where we didn't want to wish away the football season, and we're not doing that quite yet, but with the bye week, no big news out of the Auburn football world, at least as of right now, but there's big news in the world of Auburn basketball, and so we definitely want to be able to spend some time in that, talking some news, talking about their pro day, which was yesterday, and then also talking a little bit of Auburn basketball odds with the SEC and throughout the entire country. All of that before we get to Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network recapping Auburn versus Texas A&M, talk about what he wants to see with those bye week, or with the bye week after those couple of losses, and then what does he want to see change, what does he want to see adjusted, and then talk some other sports in there as well before, again, we dive into our high school coverage to start hour number two.
Yep, and so with a loaded guest schedule today, the first 30 minutes of today's show are the best opportunity for you to be a part of the program by giving us a call. You can do so right now, 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about on this Thursday afternoon? 334-321-1390. Again, that's the phone line number, or you can always shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And we do start today's show with some basketball things, where the best news was no news yesterday for Auburn basketball and new head coach Stephen Pearl, where I told you and admitted that I liked the idea that Stephen Pearl, in his introductory press conference, he acknowledged the idea that with a change in the head coach, right, just as it is in any sport in college athletics now, the transfer portal opens for 30 days. And Stephen Pearl acknowledged it. He talked about it, and he said he felt confident that nobody would leave, but if they wanted to explore their options, Auburn would be open to that. They have to be, yes, but Auburn would be open to it. They would be supportive in that, and they would just deal with it as it went. And some rumors were flying around. There were some confirmations on, I think, two guys who were legitimately having some conversations and talking about what their options were. But the good news is nobody is leaving off of this Auburn basketball team. The roster is intact. Nobody is going to be using their option to enter the transfer portal, and Auburn will have its full roster for 2025 and 2026.
Yeah, it's great news. And you go on social media, and it always gives you a little bit of a heart attack, because it's always, at least for me, whenever there's anything, it's always the very first thing that you see. And of course, when you go on social media and the very first picture I see is from Bleacher Report Hoops, and it's a picture of Tahad Pettiford, it's, oh no. But then you see on the words, not entering the transfer portal. And obviously, it was fantastic news. Again, it was Tahad and Keyshawn Hall that I don't think the right words is seeing if they could go to another school, but again, just seeing every option. And that's not a bad thing whatsoever, but it was fantastic news that Steven said yesterday following Pro Day that both of those guys sat with the team in the locker room and said that they are not planning on entering the transfer portal. They are sticking together, and you've seen the entire team really rally behind that. You saw a bunch of the players post videos on social media, all dancing, doing little TikToks and everything, saying, when the entire squad is here to stay. And you really love seeing that from the player standpoint, but man, you really love seeing that from the coaching standpoint, because you're seeing that everybody's bought in, not from a name per se, obviously the Pearl name, but you're not only coming to play for Auburn to play for Bruce Pearl. You're coming to play here because of the staff, because of your teammates, because of the fan base. And for Auburn to be able to stick all of that together is really, really important and gives a lot of confidence moving forward this season.
Yeah, you said it. I think Keyshawn Hall and Tahad Pettiford were the two that there was some concern with. But the point that I kept making and kind of talking about when people would bring it up to me off the record or off the mic or whatever out of the studio, my thing with Tahad Pettiford was, man, where could you go that you would get more than what you're getting at Auburn? And I'm not just talking financially here. I'm not just talking about the money that he's making, which is very good, by the way. Where else could you go in college basketball where, as a sophomore guard, a sophomore point guard, you would have literally the program in your hands? You would be the leader. You will be the one that everybody looks to when you need a bucket, when you need a stop, when you need somebody to speak up or just to lead your team through this upcoming season. That's Tahad Pettiford. And I don't know anywhere else where you could get more than what he's going to get at Auburn. And sure, there are some programs out there and some coaches who are still in our game that have a great track record with guards and point guards in particular. But I think Auburn is really starting to cement itself in that conversation as well. And so I don't want to say it wouldn't have made sense for Tahad to go somewhere else, but I just don't see where it could have. I don't see where the grass would have been greener for Tahad Pettiford is the point I'm trying to make.
It may have been greener in other ways, but when you weigh your options of dollar signs versus still being very competitive with the freedom, like what you were talking about, of you have the keys of this offense. Man, how many times did we have Tahad Pettiford be the one who needed to step up and make a couple buckets as a freshman, right? You think about Michigan. You think about Michigan State in there as well. You think about so many times in the regular season, Houston in game two, where it was the welcome to college basketball, but it was not the welcome to college basketball moment. Or, you know, you see so many of these athletes, it's what was your welcome to the NFL moment? And it was all getting run over by Ray Lewis or whatever the case may be. That was Tahad Pettiford, but it was more of Tahad Pettiford was the Ray Lewis of, yeah, welcome my name to college basketball. And so to be able to now have that in year two is so, so critical. And you talk about the pressure that that may bring. You hear so many of these athletes that talk about pressure in a different light than it used to be now, because guys like Tahad Pettiford coming out of Jersey City, where AAU basketball, pickup basketball, street ball is so important, right? I mean, that's almost a status level that you get of being one of those guys, one of those hoopers. And so having the cameras and the credibility follow him since he was in sixth, seventh, eighth grade, and then you're seeing his clips of AAU ball and just doing everything that he can, now you don't feel that pressure game in and game out. And if you're Tahad Pettiford, instead of being that second-round draft pick, you come back to college. What better opportunity is it than this to be able to show that, yes, a 6-foot point guard can control the keys of an SEC offense and you can have a whole lot of success. And yes, it's still around the entire team, but a lot of those arrows – lead to number zero.
I think Cade Magwood's going to fall in that same category as well.
100%.
A guy that's from North Carolina who has always been playing in front of big crowds, big money, big people, big cameras, big lights, right? I mean, that's what Cade Magwood is going to be. And the reports out of Pro Day yesterday were Cade Magwood's legit.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that in him. He's got that dog in him, if you know what I'm saying.
Auburn basketball is going to – you'd be very surprised if it's not very similar to an Auburn running back room, where it's just your point guard is the next guy up, and he's the next, you know, waits in line but still has his plenty, gets his carries or gets his minutes in the basketball world. And then as soon as the next one makes it to the NBA or makes it overseas, you're right there and you're already a little bit more polished than some of these other kids coming in.
You were talking about pressure there a little bit, and I think in today's world, this conversation always comes back up more times bad than good, but there's extra pressure on these college athletes now because of the money that they're making, right? I mean, you're talking about dudes on this Auburn basketball roster that are flirting with seven figures, right? I mean, you're talking big money here, and whether we like it or not, whether they like it or not, whether we think that it's fair or right or whatever, that extra pressure is something they have to deal with, right? And look, if you're Tahad Pettiford or Keyshawn Hall or Kevin Overton or whoever you want to pick, right, or any of these guys on different SEC P5 rosters, like, that's what the NBA guys deal with.
Yeah.
You don't think Luka feels pressure because of the $178 million as he's making or whatever it is, or the fact that LeBron James has a $1 billion lifetime Nike deal? Like, those guys feel pressure. Because when you're getting paid, it's ramped up, right? Think of the times that you've gone out to volunteer and work for free, right? If you're helping your daughter sell Girl Scout cookies, you ain't too worried about it because you're not getting paid. And
well, that and anything positive or anything plus that you bring is just that cherry on top.
Right. Or you go out and, you know, help your grandparents dig a ditch or something. Like, all right, the pressure's not all that high. But the moment you get a big boy job and you start flipping pizzas or flipping burgers and doing whatever, like, yeah, the pressure ramps up because you're getting paid.
Your performance is based off of the dollar sign that comes in.
Correct. And so that's where we are in college athletics, which is why I think a lot of Auburn fans on the football side are frustrated even more so right now because of some of the figures that are starting to trickle out about, wait, you paid the offensive line how much? And they're still not performing? Oh, okay, that's frustrating. But it goes to the same conversation with basketball, too. And you hope that guys like Pettiford or Magwood or Freeman or whoever you want to talk about, you hope that they embrace that. And you hope that they can use this as a, I don't know, a training wheels moment, if you will, for these guys who say they want to go play at the next level. You say you want to go play at the NBA, but the pressure there is higher than anywhere else in the world. And so I hope they lean into that, and I hope that that's not a conversation we have to have down the line of, man, Auburn's paying them, and they're just not performing. I hate those conversations, but it's just reality in the world that we're in.
It is, but you feel like, thankfully, basketball is a little bit different of a game just because you can't really hide behind a helmet or pads, right? I mean, everybody knows your face rather than knows your jersey colors or your number or the last name that's on the jersey. There's a little bit more of a personal pressure, I guess you could say.
You
in
can't
the basketball
hide on one
world.
Side of the football.
Right. It's not just the defense that's bad. It's half the time in college basketball and now even more so in the NBA. It's mano a mano. Mm-hmm. I'm ISOing you. I'm getting a bucket or you're getting a stop, and the praise goes with what happens on that possession.
Right.
And that's why you're thankful for, again, Tahad and his background of being able to play so many of those meaningful, stressful games up and coming, to where there's no way that him in the middle of a second half needing a bucket under the 8-minute timeout, it's, all right, I got to live up to this paycheck. There, you don't feel like there's any sort of pressure when it comes to that side of things.
And so you start looking at what this Auburn roster is going to be. Again, the news yesterday being that nobody is going to use their ability to enter the transfer portal. And thankfully, since nobody entered the portal, Christian, nobody was reached out to, nobody was talked to, nobody had any conversations with other schools or coaches or agents or anything.
Which is also a really weird idea that I don't know, just you work so long and hard to have your roster built, and you're trying to build some sort of camaraderie, and then all of a sudden a coach leaves, and, all right, guys, welcome into your new classmate, your new starting point guard, and the other two point guards that are on the roster kind of sit there and...
Like, what the hell?
What?
Yeah, the joke there being that Tahad and Keyshawn and others were reached out to.
Oh, easily.
Like it's no secret. And the idea that we've just accepted this cheating, tampering, whatever word you want to use, the fact that it is happening openly, and yet there's an organization that represents all college athletes and all college programs and can't do anything about it because they're so weak and spineless, pretty remarkable when you think about it. But, again, the good news being... then nobody's leaving, nobody took the temptation or the offerings or whatever you want to call them, and the entire roster is going to stay intact. And when we come back, we're going to dive into that roster a little bit, talk about what's coming up for this team, what they're going to be good at, what they may struggle with, and where it could all come together. We talk about that coming up next here as we're just underway on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Talking some Auburn basketball, as the news from yesterday was that nobody will be entering the transfer portal following the switcheroo between Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl as head coach of Auburn men's basketball. And now that we have that finalized, and I like that it didn't take all that long, now you can truly sit and start to digest and break down what this Auburn men's basketball team is going to look like. And we know that it's got three freshmen on it, one returning player on it, and everybody else is brand new. Bunch of transfers on this Auburn men's basketball team. Just the one returner in Tahad Pettifer, a guy that you feel is going to be really good, yes, but your leader, your workhorse, your guy that you lean on time and time again. But when you look at this roster, Christian, in terms of the one true center with Emeka Opurum, who's been dealing with some back strains and back issues, so he hasn't been practicing, a bunch of really talented forwards, and just a litter of guards. What do you see kind of just takeaways with this roster?
I see a team that's a little bit undersized, at least from the stereotypical setup. Now, who would have thought that 6'10 and Keyshawn Murphy would be undersized down low in the paint? But I don't see him lacking physicality, which is what he's going to make up for in the paint. But I see a team that reminds me a lot of the 2019 basketball team for Auburn, from the standpoint of not necessarily a team that might shoot the best from field percentage wise, but a team that's going to get up and down the floor, a team that's going to play really, really good defense, and a team that, again, maybe not to the point of total Alabama with Nate Oates, but I could see Auburn establishing a little bit more of that identity of a run and gun. You're going to give up a little bit more points, but you're going to score a little bit more points as well.
I think so. I mean, I think Steven has basically told you that, right? I mean, this team, he's talked about, they're going to get up and down the floor. They're going to shoot a bunch of shots, and they're also going to crash the offensive glass, which I think is exciting. But at the end of the day, we have to remember that Stephen Pearl is the defensive-minded guy. Yes. He was Bruce's defensive coordinator. A lot of the credit goes to Stephen for the defensive success that Auburn has had in the past several years on the hardwood. And so if it is lacking early, you feel that that is something that can get better as the season goes on. And look, if you can come out of the gates firing offensively with this team that I think, again, is not going to be your traditional – let's sit in the half court, let's use 20, 25 seconds, pass the ball around, and see if we can find the best shot.
The offense is not going to start at the low block. like it did last year.
But I think you have the opportunity to do that at times with yes. Keyshawn Squared, and if you get Sebastian Williams-Adams, who had received a lot of love after yesterday's pro day, and if Emeka Opurim comes through, and even Filip Jovic, who's going to take some time, just be prepared for that, folks. Jovic is going to take a little bit. You have a chance to work through the paint at times, but your scoring playmakers are going to be standing outside the three-point line.
Yeah, and that's what Steven talked a little bit about yesterday, talking about Pro Day. He said, quote, Pro Day was a really good day. It was good for our guys to get out there and compete. We did a lot of scrimmaging today. One of the things that stands out is offensively, and this sounds so nice to say, and I don't know if it's more so because football hasn't been this way, but says, quote, offensively, we're going to have a chance to be really, really good. He talked about the energy being off the charts as well over the past couple of practices, and I'm sure having everybody at practice yesterday definitely amped everything up just from the standpoint of true excitement. And then, man, you heard him talk about it in the introductory press conference and has talked about it just about every other time, talking about wanting to not only use transition as a part of your offense, he wants to dominate transition. And I think, again, a lot of that is because of the undersized bigs. They might not be as big, as tall, but, man, when you look at Keyshawn Murphy and Keyshawn Hall, again, I know Keyshawn's a little bit more of that small forward, power forward, point four kind of guy with the dribbling and the ball handling. Keyshawn Murphy can get up and down the floor, too, mm-hmm. and I think that will be something that Steven will use a lot of these centers to play, is running down the middle of the floor. You're going to see a lot of transition layups, not only by the guards, but by the bigs as well.
Pearl noted yesterday and said that in the scrimmage, Auburn shot 42% from three.
Made 15 of them.
And that's with Tahad Pettiford going 2-for-9. So you take away 2-for-9 from Pettiford. I mean, I think Magwood went 5-of-6 from downtown. I'm telling you, folks, Cade Magwood is legit. Caden Magwood is him. And I don't know if there's a world where Magwood and Pettiford play on the floor for extended periods of time together. You feel like they're almost the same player. I mean, they
might a little bit, because you trust Kevin Overton a little bit at the point guard spot as well. I think Magwood, it might not be totally fair because Overton's played a lot more college ball, but I at least think of Kevin Overton a little bit more of your defensive point guard.
Yeah.
To where if it's like you need scoring, you could get Magwood out there.
Yeah, you could throw him and Pettiford out there. It's like, okay, we need a spark, right? Because every indication from what Magwood did in high school and what he's done early on in practice for Auburn basketball is if he's got a shot, he's going to take it. If you give him space, he'll bury it. He'll make you pay. He will take it, and he will make it. And that's what Auburn has just thrived on in the Pearl era, right? In the old Pearl era and the new Pearl era. Not that Bruce is
still
old.
Still the Pearl era.
The Pearl era, Pearl 2.0, if you will. That's what Auburn has lived on, right? Is, hey, we've got a point guard in Jared Harper, in Javon McCormick, in Sharif Cooper. All these guys that have played at Auburn.
Doughty,
all these guys where if you give them space, the Pearls have told them, you have a green light. Take that shot. And most of the time, they have made it. There have been some with inconsistencies, KD. But for the most part, you want that mindset instilled into your guards. And I'm telling you, you obviously saw it with Pettiford last year. You're going to see it again with Magwood this year.
Yeah, I mean, having guys like him, having guys like KO, Kevin Overton, Abdul Bashir is going to be an absolute sniper behind the three-point line. He's going to be so, so good. Again, he's the Casper College commit, the twin that we saw. Oh, gosh, Monmouth, right? Mm-hmm. His twin brother. And we thought there was a possibility of getting both. But I believe it's not a – who's the – what's the other – Abdi? Mm. I believe that's his name. He went to Kansas State, which is a sneaky good team with the amount of transfer portal guys that they got. I think Elijah Freeman is going to play a really big role as well. I think he could be one of the premier rebounding guards in college basketball. Again, just because this team is not going to be oversized, where you're seeing Janai Broome and Dylan Cardwell kind of clog up the paint and get 25 of the 38 total rebounds in the game, you're going to see it a little bit more spread out. You could see it like a couple of those times when Janai got in foul trouble or Dylan got in foul trouble, and you saw Miles Kelly come in and give you 13 points and 8 rebounds. Elijah Freeman could be that type of guy just because of the 6'8 frame, the leaping ability, and the ability to, again, just kind of clear glass either on the offensive side or on the defensive side. And then if he's somebody that gets the ball, you don't even need that outlet pass. You can just get out and go.
Yeah, some injury notes before we get to break here. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network is going to join us coming up in just a couple of minutes. Simon Walker, the freshman guard coming in, who is one of the best shooters on this Auburn team already as a freshman. We knew that he had hurt his foot. He broke it. And we were told yesterday he had surgery on it on Tuesday. And so it was a successful surgery for Simon Walker. The expectation is 5 to 6 weeks for him, but I would expect it to take a little bit of time. For Simon Walker, I wouldn't expect him to have a huge part on this team until probably conference play, until probably end of December and early January. And then you got to figure out where he fits in that rotation. But one of the better shooters in last year's class, he is on the recovery for that foot injury after surgery on Tuesday. We'll take a break, come back, and talk with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. We'll talk to him, unfortunately, about football, but it is a bye week, so I'm sure he has something good to say. What Auburn's going to try and do to fix their problems before Georgia next week, and talk some basketball as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joins us coming up next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We get to the phone line to welcome in our Thursday 2:30 guest. He's with the Auburn Sports Network and has a week off this weekend. Brad Law does joining us now. My man, what are you going to do with all your free time this weekend? I mean, is it watching football, going golfing, sleeping? What are you doing this Saturday?
You know, my dad turns 75 next week. And so I'm taking the kids up. We're going to visit. We're going to meet up with my sister and her kids.
Okay.
And kind of have a pool day and a cookout day and a fire and a birthday party and just kind of hang out.
So okay.
It's going to be a good time.
Well, good.
It's going to be a good time.
We hope you enjoy your bye week and everybody at the Auburn Sports Network. And you'll be back in action Monday for another edition of Tiger Talk. And we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But we are in the bye week, and there are a lot of questions that still need to be answered for this Auburn football team without the game this weekend before Georgia comes to town next weekend. Yep. And rather than diving super deep into the Texas A&M game, because we've done that quite a bit, just kind of summarize what you've seen up to this point, Brad, if you would, and where you think Auburn is lacking in some areas that they can improve on here in the bye.
Yeah, boy, if I had all the answers, they might hire me over there in that building instead of here in Beard Eves at our offices here. But, you know, I think you see a team that has lost two games by one score, one of them with highly suspect officiating, candidly, to two top 10 teams. And if you can clean some of the offensive stuff up, or if those games were later in the schedule, and maybe some of the games you got in the second half of the schedule were first, like if Auburn played Texas's schedule, they probably have the same record Texas has right now. Is that, would anybody debate that? Would anybody argue otherwise?
I don't think so.
But because they've had this, or, you know, if they played maybe Missouri and Kentucky, or if they played at Arkansas and Kentucky, as opposed to at Oklahoma and Texas A&M, you'd probably be looking at 5-0, but you're not. And, you know, look, 3-2 at Auburn is not the standard. And so those guys have been hard at work all week long trying to come up with how to get the offense back in sync. We're not talking about going back to a time when – we're not talking about going back 7 years, 8 years, 10 years, 30 years. We're talking about going back to game one against Baylor. Game one against Baylor, the running backs combined for 32 carries. Actually, with Darrell Robinson, they combined for more than that. Mm-hmm. But your main two running backs combined for 32 carries just a month ago. So, for whatever reason, they got behind and felt like they needed to pass more. And that put really everybody offensively in non-advantageous, put them in adverse conditions against some really good defensive lines. And in the SEC, it doesn't matter who your tackles are. If guys know you're going to throw the ball, really talented edge guys are going to do their job. That's it. I think you just got to get back to being comfortable with an identity that is at the very least balanced and maybe at most run heavy, because that's what your guys do best. And that keeps you out of negative plays, which gives you a chance to get first downs, which gives you a chance to control the clock, which gives you a chance to pull in safeties and give the opportunity for your receivers to make even more big plays down the field.
Preseason, Brad, we talked about the Georgia game on this Auburn schedule. Of course, it's next Saturday night in Jordan-Hare under the lights. And we talked about this game and what it could mean for the Auburn fans, for the Auburn program, for the season as a whole, right? If Auburn was 5-0 or 4-1 or whatever the case may be, that Auburn could use that as the almost the mountain to get over and into a much easier backstretch of the season. A lot of positive connotation on what the Georgia game could be. But it seems like that has started to flip to the negative side, Brad. Are you feeling that way as we're just over a week out from this matchup?
I mean, I think it's the same as it always has been. The Georgia game is a rivalry game, and you don't come to Auburn to lose to Georgia. And there's been too much of it lately. I think Auburn's only beat Georgia, what, three times since 2005? Mm-hmm. That's not Auburn football. That's not what you come to Auburn for. So there's always an expectation that you beat Georgia. And when you don't, there's consternation that comes with that. I think a lot of people, quite frankly, like if we're all honest, if we're all real, we all looked at the schedule and said the back six games are a lot more manageable than the first six games. And if you get to the first six, just talking from a fan perspective, worst case scenario, you go, all right, if you're 3-3, well, you can still finish with an outstanding season because you can do work on the back end of that schedule. Is Alabama better than we thought they'd be? Probably. Is Vanderbilt better than we thought they'd be? Probably. Everybody else is kind of where you thought they would be. So I don't think there's any more or less positive or negative that comes with the Georgia game, because it's Auburn, Georgia, and it's your second biggest rival on the schedule. And when you beat them, it's awesome, no matter what your record is. And when you lose to them, it's terrible, no matter what their ranking or record is, and no matter what your ranking or record is.
We got Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joining us here on ESPN 106.7. And Brad, I know you've been able to, not sure if you watched it live or got to go back and watch it, but the Alabama-Georgia game last Saturday night. Both teams got to learn a lot about each other, and the national country got to learn a lot about what the Alabama and the Georgia team is. What have you learned, whether in that game or just throughout Georgia's season as a whole? Maybe that's surprising to you that you didn't know about them going into the season, that you see Auburn could possibly try and exploit here next Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't think Auburn is the only fan base with questions about play calls. I don't think Auburn's the only fan base that says, gosh, if there's one play or two plays or four plays that go differently. Both teams in that game missed a wide open touchdown pass down the middle of the field. Georgia called a 4th-and-1 handoff to a guy going laterally. And didn't kick a field goal to tie the game. Like, there's Auburn's not the only fan base with lots of questions. I think you're seeing across the SEC in this NIL era, we call it an era like it's going to change. Now that there's NIL and revenue sharing, the league is going to resemble the NFL way more than it ever has. And that includes the parity of the rosters. It means that 1, 2, 3, 4 calls over the course of a 60-minute game, those are the difference. Those are the difference. You're not going to have one team go undefeated. You're not going to have a lot of teams go 11-1 or, 8-0, 9-0 in league play. There's going to be a lot of, this year with the 8-game schedule, There's going to be a lot of 6-2, a lot of 5-3.
Yeah.
And margins are really, really slim. This is a game that Auburn has the personnel that can win. If it's plan and execution are checking the boxes.
And while it is a bye week for Auburn football, not a ton of news coming out of that side of the program and that side of town for Auburn athletics. Basketball has since taken over in this bye week with a bunch of good news. And, Brad, we said no news was the best news that we learned that nobody will be leaving this Auburn men's basketball program with new head coach Stephen Pearl. There were some worries and some scares that a couple of guys would test the waters in the transfer portal. They do not. And Auburn will be at full strength with new head coach Stephen Pearl in 2025 and 2026. How would you evaluate the roster that Coach Pearl will have in year one?
Well, I think that confirms that the timing was really smart. And I think that, you know, those guys, regardless of when it happened and how it happened, which again, I think was very wise and smart and worked out best for everybody involved. They still had the opportunity to go somewhere else. You gonna tell me somebody wouldn't take Todd Pettiford on October 4th, or, you know, 2nd or 1st or whatever? Sure they would. Of course they would. They'd figure it out. But those guys looked at this situation and they saw the roster that was built. They saw the pieces. They saw their roles within the framework of the program. And they said, yep, this is where I wanted to be 6 months ago. This is where I want to be today. I thought that was massive. So, you know, you're going to see a bunch of guys who can score. You can see, we've talked about the length and the athleticism of this group. They've got to learn to play together, and it's a really tough schedule in the first couple of months to learn to do that. But I love the athleticism and scoring ability within this roster.
You've heard Steven so many times talk about the offensive ability. Said it again yesterday afternoon. Says that offensively we have the chance to be really, really good. Also talked a little bit about, or has talked a lot about, rather, dominating the transition game, right? Not necessarily trying to use the half-court set where the offense is going to start on the low block like it could last year with Jani Broome. I compared this team, at least on paper, for what you could see with that 2019 Auburn basketball team, where you got up and down the floor, really used the transition offense to your advantage, and you used what was wildly to say, or what is wildly to say, that Keyshawn Murphy, rather, is an undersized forward or center at 6'10", but using that to your ability, using speed, using finesse, especially on the offensive end of the floor, how do you compare that 2019 to what you're going to see with this year's team?
You know, one of the things is I'm going to see how they play. Will they play like that team did? Will we see guys drive in for layups but instead kick it out a la Jared Harper to Bryce Brown for a transition three? I do think you got 4 or 5 guys who, you know, have the size and have the range that you could see a lot. Like the three in transition could be a big part of the game this year, from Tahad to Overton to Abdul Bashir and Aiden Magwood and Elijah Freeman. Like, these guys can knock down threes from the wing, and then you got Murphy and Hall that can rebound for them, or, you know, draw defenders out with the perimeter game and then hit those guys on the inside. I mean, there's buckets all over the floor. And so quick passing game, getting the defense out of position, and then finishing on the wing, I think can be a big part of the offense for this team. I'm excited to see them. I mean, that's, you know, you got to buy in or else you're not going to be on the floor defensively. You got to buy in defensively or else you're not on the floor. But there are just so many different scoring options, volume scoring options on the floor. There's only one basketball. You're only going to take a certain amount of shots per game. But, I mean, there's 5, 6, 7 guys that could get red hot in any game and take things over, which is what you love, right? Because not every night everybody's shot's going to be falling.
Yeah. Sure.
So on a night where 2 or even 3 guys' shots aren't falling, you still got a bunch of options. The offense doesn't have to fall off.
We're having our weekly visit with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And we may as well hit all 3 of the major sports for the Auburn Tigers. Some news earlier this week for Auburn baseball. They'll be heading back to Arlington in February as they'll take on Florida State, Louisville, and Kansas State across 3 days in the baseball series there in Arlington, something Butch Thompson is really, really big on. I know he's going to have some fall ball available on Friday, and another great opportunity for the Tigers in mid-February next year.
Love the schedule. Kansas State, Florida State, Louisville got a night game, an afternoon game, and a morning game on Sunday. Auburn's played in this ballpark twice. In 22, they won two of three games, and that year ended with a College World Series run. Last year, they swept all three, and that ended with a Super Regional at Plainsman Park. It's a really good early test against quality competition. You can learn and grow in the second or third weekend of the season before jumping into conference play. So, yeah, it's a great trip. A lot of Auburn fans went last year. I know a lot of Auburn fans that have already booked their flights and hotels for this trip this year. So we love it. It's one of the premier – well, it's one of the premier venues in baseball, period. But this is one of the premier events in this college baseball pre-conference season.
And I assume those will be some games you're on the call for, right, Brad, since that's right in the heart of crossover season with men's basketball late February and baseball getting going?
Yep, that's right. I've just got to figure out, because last year there's something there that affected my allergies, and the YouTube stream had me sneezing about 196 times per game. And so we've got to figure out what it is there native to Texas that I could battle so that we don't have a repeat of that next year.
Yeah, I'm sure the people in the comments were keeping a sneeze tracker for Brad Law on the YouTube stream. So,
The texts were crazy. Like, you're dying up there. I'm like, I know, that doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. Well, we're excited for baseball. We're excited for basketball and, of course, a continuation of football as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7. Obviously, no broadcast this weekend, but you guys are right back in action on Monday night for Tiger Talk, my friend.
Yep, that's the next broadcast coming up on Wings 94.3. We will have Hugh Freeze there, as always, and then we're also going to have Chris Sabo with War Eagle Creative and War Eagle Plus. They are releasing Monday part two of the 2010 documentary, and he was he's the chief producer of that special feature, and so he's going to join us to talk about that Monday as well. So I hope everybody will tune in for that.
Brad, enjoy the weekend with your family. It's much deserved for you and everyone at the Sports Network, and we're excited to talk to you again next Thursday.
Appreciate it, guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Thursday, 2:30, right here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up the first hour. We'll get into hour two, where, reminder, head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football joins me live at 3 o'clock here on the radio. All that coming up on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who's always with us on Thursdays at 2:30. We appreciate him for joining us, as he always does. And here's what's coming up in hour number two. We're going to have Auburn High School's head football coach Keith Etheridge. He'll join me on the phone lines at 3 o'clock, as we do every Thursday during football season, and we get to talk about a nice win over Moody last week and preview one of the biggest games of the year in the state of Alabama. It's Auburn High and Central Phenix City tomorrow night at Duck Sanford Stadium, so we're excited to have that broadcast for you over on Wings 94.3. Tomorrow night, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. Coach Etheridge will join us coming up at 3 o'clock to talk about that. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us in hour number two as well.
It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I don't know if you saw almost the chaos that just happened in the Tigers Guardians game. Pop up to the middle of the infield, and in the MLB, I mean, unless you're a center fielder that's moved onto the pitcher's mound, your rule is to get off the mound and let one of your infielders come and make a play.
Yeah, pitchers are not supposed to catch infield pop flies.
Yeah, the pitcher was trying to call everybody off, and Jose Ramirez ran into him, and the first baseman had to go and make the play. So that would have scored one, if not two, if that would have dropped.
Could you imagine? One of several game threes we have going on today, Detroit-Cleveland. You also have unfortunately, the Red Sox and the Yankees, because
you knew that was going to three.
I know. If our starter didn't get rocked. But of all people, Bayo to get rocked like he did as early as he did. And if Trevor Story doesn't step up, it could have been.
He's Trevor Story stepped up. That,
Trevor Story stepped up twice yesterday and saved and kept the Red Sox in that game, who then had every chance to still win, just couldn't pull it off. So that's a game three coming up. And by the way, programming note, since the Dodgers did what everybody predicted them to do, which was beat the Cincinnati Reds in two games, we had both of those games for you here on ESPN 106.7. We're able to transition. We've got game three from New York tonight, Boston and New York, the Red Sox and the Yankees, live ESPN radio broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7. So if you're a baseball on radio guy like we are, tune in tonight on ESPN 106.7 or ESPNAU.com. We'll have the national radio broadcast for you. It is Greg Olson, Auburn great Greg Olson's on the call for that. He's been the color guy for that series. So tune in game three tonight, Red Sox-Yankees, 6:30.
Definitely a night where you either want the radio on or you want two TVs because, again, between all three game threes, again, Detroit and Cleveland going on right now, you have the Cubs and the Padres this afternoon, and then you have the Red Sox and the Yankees, who are minus 160 to win that game, by the way.
The Yankees are?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
it's got to be because of pitching, man. It's got to be.
Pitching and then home field plays a little bit of a factor
as
well between that, but then NFL Thursday Night Football as well with the Rams and the 49ers should be a pretty good game. Although Brock Purdy is not out, Mac Jones is the quarterback for San Francisco.
Gross.
And so that takes a little bit of the damper out of it, or puts a little damper in it, but still should be a really, really fun game and a really fun night of sports.
Yeah, I mean, that's a divisional game, so you can't ask for more than that on a Thursday Night Football Amazon broadcast. And so, yeah, there's a lot going on tonight in the world of sports, and there's a lot going on in hour number two of our show. We will kick it off with Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He joins us live coming up right at 3 o'clock. We'll have a quick segment after that, talk about our high school games coming up this weekend, or tomorrow night, rather. And then Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joins us coming up in hour number two as well. 1 hour down, another to go on this Thursday afternoon. Stick around. We got a whole lot more coming up.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us here on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go back and listen to the podcast version of today's show. You'll find it on our station website at ESPNAU.com or just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We talked about Auburn basketball, big news, with nobody entering the transfer portal for head coach Stephen Pearl. So talked a lot about that and visited with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. All of that in hour number one. But joining us now, as he does every single Thursday at 3 o'clock during the high school football season, we got our guy, head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football, with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. What's going on, Coach? It's a beautiful day in Auburn, isn't it?
Oh, it's a beautiful day today. Beautiful day today, Jacob. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Well, it's always fun to talk to you, and I always enjoy our in-person visits we do on Thursday mornings, talking pregame and recording our pregame interview that we play on the broadcast, but also enjoy having you here on the radio as well, where folks can get some more insight on what's going on around your Auburn High School football program. And look, last week was a lot of fun. I can speak for you, speak for your guys, and speak for myself, where you get a nice win over Moody, one that meant a lot to you, and your guys played like it last week.
Yeah, it was a great win for us. Moody's got a really good football team, and our guys went out there and played lights out, man. Played great on offense and defense and special teams. So, it was a full team win.
And so you look at what happened last week with Moody, a non-region game, one that meant a lot to you, still means a lot for the season as a whole, but, of course, no real playoff implications, something we talked about last week, tiebreaker stuff if it comes down to it. But what impressed you the most, Coach, about what your team was able to do on both sides of the football against a really talented Moody squad?
I wouldn't say that it surprised me, but we moved the ball really well against them. Our offense did a really good job of getting the ball in the end zone down there in the red zone. We've talked about that a little bit, Jacob. We were able to get the ball in the end zone, not settle for field goals, and I was really impressed with our offense doing that. And defensively, they had some high power kids. They got some really good athletes, and they've been scoring a lot of points and. Defensive for us to go out there and play the way we played, and keep them out of the end zone until the fourth quarter, really impressive by our defense. So.
Yeah, I think so. And look, that side of the ball has played, the defensive side has played so consistent all year long.
Yeah.
And now that the offense seems that the Jag game may have been kind of the coming out party, right? Put up 56 points against them and another 41-point performance. Well, I guess 34 technically because of the pick six from Maiden Parker last week, which was awesome, by the way. I know that play's been getting a whole lot of love, and I love to see that from number 11 on the defensive side.
Yeah, Aiden's had a great year, and him and Greg and Gampson, our three linebackers have anchored our defense, this year. Cornell Jackson and, B.J. McGee and, all those guys over there on that defense have had really good years. But I think that, we're playing well on that side. And, we're flying to the football, and that's a testament to Coach Goolsby and things he does defensively with those guys.
And then on the offensive side, you've got your man Kaysen Myers leading the way, your junior quarterback, and just receivers galore, and trying to get that running back room fully healthy and good to go, and that'll be really important this week with a Central team coming to town. It's Auburn and Central, Tigers and the Red Devils, Coach. I know this is always a fun game. It's a stressful game, too, just because of how talented that Central squad is.
Yeah, this is definitely – Central's one of those teams that, they're always very good athletically and, have a lot of players and, and they're always well coached. Coach Nix does a fantastic job with those guys. And it's just one of those weeks that, every time you turn that film on, you find something else that they do well,
Right.
So, they're very, very talented. And we're going to have to go in there and play well, hopefully we have a chance right there at the end to do something, win this football game.
Two teams who are 5-1 on the season, Auburn and Central, both teams undefeated in 7A Region 2 at 3-0. Carver, the other team coach, at 3-0 so far in region play. When you do turn on that film and when you guys have been preparing for the Red Devils coming into Duck Sanford Stadium tomorrow night, what sticks out to what kind of jumps off the video from you, or for you rather, for the Central team on either side of the football?
Well, looking at this team, we sort of thought they would be, in a rebuilding year because they lost so many really good players last year, and they're not. They're coming in. They're just as strong as they have always been. They've had some young guys step up. Bobby, their quarterback, Bobby Coleman, he's playing really well for them. Defensively, they do a really good job of just making plays and using their speed and You know, Tristan Lyles, the defensive end who anchors their defense, is an explosive player. So, you know, they're a dang good football team. You know, and we're gonna have to play well and not turn the ball over and not have silly penalties and things like that to have a chance to win this football game.
Auburn High and Central, that is on Friday night at Duck Sanford Stadium. Coach, we had a lot of fun last year, didn't we, going over to Phoenix City and getting a big-time win. And I'm just look, I'm glad we ain't got to go back there this year. I'm glad they're coming to us tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be great being at the Duck. You know, it always is great playing there. It's great having that home field advantage with all our fans. And got a great group of fans. And, you know, our kids love playing at home. It's definitely a situation where we get to go in and we got that 12th man that helps us out, you know, so we love playing at the Duck.
This will be the fourth game in a row playing at home for the Auburn High Tigers, beating Enterprise, Jag, Moody, and now Central coming to town tomorrow. Looking ahead just a little bit for the rest of the regular season, crazy that we're already speaking in those terms, but at Smith Station next week, home for Carver, the game last year that decided the region after Auburn goes to Montgomery and gets that win. Carver will make the return trip here, and then on the road at Dothan. I mean, this game tomorrow night, Coach, not that the region's up for grabs just yet, but as you were telling me earlier, if you win this one, it kind of catapults you into controlling your own destiny at that point.
Yeah, it really does. It's a big game as far as region standings and things like that. You know, of course, you know, it's not the end all be all, but you know, you win this game and it puts you in a great situation of, you know, possibly winning the region and you know, hosting during the playoffs. And that's definitely what we want to do. We want to try to get those playoff games at the Duck.
We're talking with Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, here on ESPN 106.7. And, look, I know all your focus has been on Central. It's been on the Red Devils for tomorrow night. But yeah. Have you had a chance to peek up to that Birmingham region and see what that game's going to be like tomorrow night? Thompson and Hewitt Trustful. Talk about another big matchup in this state.
Yeah, that's a huge matchup, too. I think that, you know, Thompson's going to come in. They're going, you know, I think that they're going to be reeling after that loss to Clay. You know, I think that Mark had those guys ready, but I know Coach Floyd's looking forward to getting on the field and trying to put a win out there for the Huskies too. You know, I think that's going to be a great football game.
It will be. That is a huge game in the state of Alabama, but so is Auburn and Central. It's on Friday night at the Duck, and if you can't get there, then you can tune in with us over on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and for those of you who have that Radio Alabama app, that's the best way for you to listen each and every Friday night on the Auburn High Sports Network. Jack Hutton, Rob Pate, and myself will have the radio broadcast for you. Pregame starts at 6:30, kickoff at 7. Coach Etheridge will have another conversation with us. A quick word on game day, just talking about Auburn and Central as well. And Coach, always appreciate your time. Glad to hear that your mom's still doing well and on her on her way to being back to normal. I know that.
Yes, sir. It's been great. It's been great. You know, appreciate all the prayers and everybody, you know, putting those prayers in, and everything's been great. It's just amazing that, you know, every time us in Central play, it seems to be two top five teams.
I'm telling you.
You know, getting after each other. So it's just another blessing.
Coach, we appreciate you and your time as always, my friend. Enjoy the rest of your day today. Enjoy the moment tomorrow and go get them tomorrow night, man.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate what y'all do. God bless, and go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That's head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football. He's with me every Thursday, 3 o'clock, right here on ESPN 106.7 during football season. We appreciate him and his time, and, man, just looking forward to another big one tomorrow night. We had a ton of fun last year, 38-33 on the road in Phoenix City. Tigers were to go on and win the region two games later in Montgomery, taking down the Carver-Montgomery Wolverines, and so looking to do that again tomorrow night, capping off a four-game homestand. Auburn and Central, Tigers and Red Devils. You can catch the radio broadcast with me, Rob Pate, and Jack Hutton on Wings 94.3. We'll take our first break here in hour number two. Come back, have some more fun conversations before we get to the phone lines again with Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. That's coming up at 3:30. So if you want to be a part of the show, give us a call. Now's your time to do so. 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. 1390. Or the text box is always open at 334-784-1067. We're back here on ESPN right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on ESPN 106.7. This is the Thursday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge. He always so gracious with his time, and appreciate him for joining us on Thursdays throughout football season at 3 o'clock to talk about his Auburn High Tigers as they are 5-1 on the season. Only loss was that road game at Vestavia Hills week 2, and just ran into a really talented team that executed their game plan to pure perfection. And so since then, Auburn has ripped off 4 straight wins in a row over Opelika, Enterprise, Jag, and Moody. And now the Tigers welcome in the Red Devils of Central Phoenix City tomorrow night at Duck Sanford Stadium. Again, we'll have the radio broadcast for you. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7 over on Wings 94.3. So that's a big game here in the area, here in the state of Alabama. Told you a little bit about the Thompson-Trussville game going on up in Birmingham as well. But Christian, you're going to be on the air tomorrow night as well for another big game. Lee Scott coming off of a bye week and looking to continue their undefeated season. So
yeah,
far.
A very different mentality of a bye week with Lee Scott Academy. 5-0 coming off a very emotional win over Randolph County for homecoming. You now hit the bye week before you hit the road to take on the Tigers of Dadeville, and that starts the back half of this season and the regular season of 4-5 now on the road for Lee Scott Academy. It's at Dadeville, at Wadley, your home for Glenwood, and then back on the road for B.B. Comer and Real Town. So Lee Scott's already put themselves in a really good position, starting 2-0 in region play with wins over Beulah, or 3-0 rather, with Childersburg, Beulah, and Randolph County. So tomorrow night could be a really, really big game, not only for just continuing what you hope to do in the regular season with your record, but just from the ability to try and make the postseason. This was a game last year with Dadeville where you feel like Lee Scott kind of took this team for granted a little bit, and that was the game that everybody kind of went back and circled when Lee Scott missed out on the playoffs because it was Dadeville that was able to jump them and get that seed line. So looking for a little bit more than just a normal revenge region game here tomorrow night.
Was this a game last year where weather was a factor? Do I remember that correctly, or was this just one where Lee Scott just maybe wasn't fully prepared for it?
I don't want to say prepared, but the mentality definitely you could see wasn't wasn't there. I know this was a game at home. I remember it being a really low scoring game. Was it like a 14-10? Hold on, I gotta pull this back up again. This was the game that we all tried to block out of our minds.
Yeah, well, I know you had just mentioned it too. This was the one that at the time was like, man, that hurts, but it's fine. But then it came back to be like, man, that's the one that really hurt because it kept the Warriors out of the postseason.
This was a 13-10 final score. Dadeville got the win. At Judd Scott Field on the campus of Lee Scott Academy. So, yeah, so it's a region game, a very important one, but there's a little bit more tied to it. You can catch that pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 over on AU 100.3. Myself and my color commentator, Rhett Crone, will have all of the action from the home of the Tigers.
Yep, and so the home of the what? Oh, never mind. Okay, you're on the road to Dadeville. My bad. I thought you were saying AU 100.3 is the home of the Tigers. I was like, no, it's not.
Sorry, okay. Home of the Lee Scott Academy Warriors, AU 100.3, where we will be live on the campus of the home of the Tigers.
There you go. Much better. It's better for me. You said it properly. I just heard it wrong. But, yeah, so high school games going on tomorrow night, and then college games going on.
You got me. There's a thing on the Lee Scott Sports Network.
And, that you don't know mascots? Yes.
I know mascots until I'm doing my broadcast close, and for some reason, there is a blank every single time. And
well,
I'm 100%
half the opponents on your schedule are Tigers. So just go with that, and you're going
to
be right.
Which made it even worse to where I second and triple-guessed myself. It happened last year with Beulah, and it turned into we just play the Beulah now. But 2 weeks ago, Lee Scott was going on the road to Dadeville, Alabama to take on Dadeville. And,
yeah. I don't think we have any repeats on mine. We've had some interesting ones.
So, yeah. So, if you're ever listening to the broadcast close, just please send me a text of who we're about to play. Because I know the team and I know the mascot, but once I start doing the broadcast close, you just go blank.
I do have to transition from the Blue Devils last week for Moody to the Red Devils this week of Central. So, that's...
Thankfully, there's a color in there, and when you're looking onto the field, hopefully...
Yeah.
You're not that colorblind, I don't think.
No, I'm blind, just not colorblind. I can see that there are players out there. I just can't tell you what number they wear. Or
if only there was, you know, something there you could, you know.
I take my binoculars with me every game, and they sometimes help. Not all the time. Thankfully, my color commentator's an eye doctor. His eyesight is fantastic. So
yeah, if only he could help you with something.
I don't think he can. he can help my sweet tooth with some yogurt. That's about all.
He can do that.
shout out Sweet Frog, proud partner of Auburn High School Athletics on the Auburn High Sports Network. And go check them out because our household spends a lot of money there, as many Auburn households do. Place is incredible. I mean, it's just it never misses. It never ever misses.
And however long the line is,
you'll wait.
You will wait, and you will enjoy the wait because it's the anticipation.
That's right.
It's just as exciting as the actual.
It's like going to an amusement park. You wait in line for a roller coaster for an hour, but you know it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
Sweet Frog's the exact same way, just better,
if not more, if not even.
That's right.
Better. But we do have a few minutes, and before we get Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joining us here on the show as he does every single Thursday at 3:30, why not dive into the SEC games this weekend? Again, we've talked a little bit about how this slate is – you don't want to use the word underwhelming because the one time that we did do that, it ended up being a really, really good weekend. Was that week two?
Yeah. It followed the incredible week one.
Yeah. And week two is usually one of those, okay, it's before conference play – You start your little cupcake game, but that ended up being a really, really good weekend. At least on the SEC side of things, only 5 total games. Again, there's a lot of teams that had their bye last week, a lot that have their bye this week as well. So let's dive into that just for a little bit. Again, a team that we talked a lot about yesterday, the Georgia Bulldogs, they take on Kentucky. The 11 o'clock game over on ABC, it's in Sanford Stadium, so you feel like there's a confidence level there. Georgia, man, you got to find a way to avoid the sleepwalk, at least for the first or the second quarter. I don't feel worried or upset the possibility of an upset. In this game, Georgia's a 20.5-point favorite, but it could be one of those games where it's 7-3 or 10-7 into the first quarter, and that's when everybody starts freaking out just because of Dante Dowdle.
Well, here's the thing. Georgia's going to win this game, and they're going to win by a lot, but the fact that it's almost 3 touchdowns, will they win by a lot? Yes, but the idea of them holding a 21 or 28-point lead the entire time I don't think is – safe to jump on, but Georgia is not going to overlook this game by any means, okay? Do you want to know what the all-time record between these two teams is in this matchup? Do you want to know how lopsided this is all-time between Georgia and Kentucky? It's worse than you think.
How many total games have been played?
They have played 88 total games.
You almost got that phone calculator out.
And I'm going to use it just to double-check.
88? Ooh.
Oh, I'm glad I did. 78.
Okay.
Let me do it one more time. 78. Yes.
78.
Journalism major. 78 total games between Georgia and Kentucky.
I'm going to say.
Oh, my God. I just found another stat, too. Go ahead.
54-24.
Nope.
Is it worse than that?
It's worse than that.
Oh, man.
64-12-2. There are two all-time ties. Georgia is 64-12 all-time against the Kentucky Wildcats in football. Kirby Smart is 9-0 against Kentucky. The Cats have never beaten Georgia. They've gotten close a couple of times.
They have.
But they've never done it. And I have unfortunately picked Kentucky several times to do it, and they disappoint me every single time. But this week will not be one of those.
And this could be one of those worst-case scenarios for Kentucky. After a Georgia loss, they're back at home. You get to take out the aggression on the Wildcats that are struggling.
Early game, too. Yeah, it's going to be bad. Remember, last year was the closest Kentucky's ever got. 13-12 in this game last year. Kentucky was right there and had so many
chances. They chose not to go for,
chances.
What, like the 52-yard field goal with 3 minutes, decided to punt, and never got the football back.
Never got it back. Yep. Ah, you hate to see it. So there you go. 64-12-2 all time is Georgia's record against Kentucky on the football field. Now, check the basketball record, because that's where Kentucky gets it back.
Yeah, very, very much.
I'm actually curious in that. Let's find that out.
Well, while you're doing that, does Texas, a top 10 team in the country, finally beat a Power 4 team?
For the first time?
In week six?
I don't know. I mean, Florida's 1-3, and yet Texas is less than a touchdown favorite. Is that because it's in the swamp? Is that because they
It's in the swamp, and it's because of Florida's defense.
That too, yeah.
I mean, that could be a really... really big factor, but yeah, Texas a 6.5-point favorite in that game. You can get tickets for $91 if you so choose.
That's not bad.
No, it really isn't. Arch Manning making his second big road trip as the starting quarterback. Only put up 7 against Ohio State, and so, I mean, weirdly enough, there could be a little bit of a confidence level for the Florida Gators. Again, that's the 2:30 ESPN game, and I don't know, you might see something crazy go down in that game.
Georgia and Kentucky basketball have played 161 times. Thought football was lopsided.
I was about to say, hold on, let me, 161?
Yeah. What did I say the football record was, just for a win percentage? 64-12-2, right? 64, okay. All right. That is a 82% win percentage for Georgia football all time against Kentucky. Now let me do this. This is fascinating.
I'm going to say that Kentucky...
Oh, my God. Oh, my dude, I love numbers. This is incredible. He's not Googling it. He's doing a calculating
thing. I'm going to say Kentucky is 145-16.
Not that bad because of the recent Georgia basketball quote-unquote success.
Sure.
132-29. Kentucky
I think I literally had
the
131
series.
The first time, and you laughed, and I added a couple.
I wasn't laughing at you. I'm laughing at the fact that Kentucky.
I thought you thought that the percentage was just that much more.
Again, Kentucky basketball leads Georgia basketball all time, 132-29. Georgia football's win percentage against Kentucky all time is 82%. Would you like to know Kentucky basketball's win percentage all time against Georgia? 82%. How about that? That's why I laughed. Isn't that incredible?
Numbers.
Basketball's played several more times, but Georgia football holds the same win percentage against Kentucky as Kentucky basketball holds their win percentage against Georgia. That's fascinating stuff. We'll talk more, hopefully, about other games not named Georgia and Kentucky right after this. Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, joins us coming up.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. And we get to the phone line to welcome in our Thursday 3:30 guest. He's been with me for a long time here during On the Line in Auburn Opelika. We got our man Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us now. And, man, do you want to start talking baseball postseason? I mean, I'm sure you're just tuned in, locked in, and just really enjoying what's going on in the baseball postseason, right?
I didn't even know they were having a postseason this year, but I mean,
me neither, Chris. Me neither.
If we're volunteering topics, I mean, we could start with Auburn's offense if you want to start there.
No, we're deflecting for a reason, Chris. The fact that
we're the same way. We didn't know that Auburn had one.
Auburn doesn't play this week, Chris, so we're okay. Everything's fine.
Hey, I will say, I said this on Feinbaum yesterday. I said, you know, if Auburn had opened with Arkansas and Kentucky, who are coming up later on their schedule, I think Auburn would be undefeated right now. We'd be feeling much different about them. So there's that.
There is that, but then that would just be pushing off the inevitable letdown of Auburn football with the offense going up against legitimate teams in the Southeastern Conference, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, look, they went against two top 10 teams in the SEC on the road and lost by 7-1, lost by 6 in the other. So I think there's glass half full the way to look at it, you know?
Oh, Chris, you're not believing that, are you? We're not going down the path that Auburn was right there. Surely you watched what we watched and can see the defense is playing well. Special teams is questionable at best, and the offense still just can't seem to figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think they're going to play much better when they get back home. Georgia game, you're going to have Cam Newton retirement ceremony. I mean, it's going to be put it this way. The offense has to be better at home, or if it's not, you freeze ain't going to be around much longer. So there's that.
So you do think that this game against – is the game against Georgia, are we already to that point? Are we to the point that Freeze is coaching for his job next weekend under the lights inside of his own stadium?
Well, I'm just saying the offense has to get better. I'm not saying he has to win. Think of it of, what if they lose, 31-30 in a barn burner? I mean, I'm not going to call for his head, but you just want to see some life from the offense. That's the bottom line. I mean, if they go out and score 10 against Georgia at home, I think that's when we really start to go, all right, this is not getting any better. I mean, because let's be real. I mean, the 2 years of Peyton Thorne were terrible, and now, you went out and spent all this money on all these big-time weapons. You go and get Jackson Arnold saying he's the guy, and the offense has been a big fat dud the last 2 weeks. Now, I think the offensive line's been to blame for that, but, you have studs in the stable at wide receiver, and you're not using them. So, to me, that's got to get a lot better when they come back home.
Well, with Auburn having that bye week, not playing this Saturday, gives us a little bit more time to look around the conference and want to go back to last week where, rather than the LSU-Ole Miss and then Alabama-Georgia game, which we'll have a follow-up here in just a little bit, maybe some other teams or some other moments that stood out to you. Was it Tennessee going on the road in overtime and beating Mississippi State? Was it Utah State covering against Vanderbilt? Or was it Arkansas just not being able to do anything against Notre Dame? Is there a team or a game that really stood out to you last week?
Well, I think the shocker was, I had tons of people I talked to last week talking themselves into Arkansas pulling off the upset. They're like, man, Notre Dame has not looked good. Arkansas's offense has been really good. And a lot of people talked themselves into Arkansas was going to pull off that upset. And, I mean, it was clear from the first three possessions, this is going to get ugly, and this is going to get ugly fast. And Notre Dame just absolutely embarrassed them. And it was my buddy John Neighbors, who does Locked On Razorback, said, he's like, we won't have that again. He goes, Notre Dame coming to Fayetteville probably won't happen again in my lifetime. He's like, that this was like such, could have been such a fun game, a fun atmosphere, and it was just a big fat dud. And that's the reason Sam Pittman got let go now rather than hanging on to him for a couple more weeks. So, the interesting part now is the Bobby Petrino experiment. We get to see if he can coach still. I love the first move he made, getting rid of a bunch of the defensive coaches, including Travis Williams, the defensive coordinator. Defense has been absolutely atrocious, the worst in the SEC so far. So, that move was good. But now, I mean, the question becomes, Petrino says he wants this job. So what does success look like? I mean, this team is not great already. Does he have to win 2 games, 3 games? I don't know what he has to do down the stretch to prove that he's the guy. But the good news is Arkansas's got a ton of time to figure this out. They can start putting out feelers for a ton of different big names out there. And I do think Arkansas's got to make a big splash, too, because, you made a big splash in hiring John Calipari on the basketball court. I don't know if hiring Ryan Silverfield or somebody like that's going to get, Alex Golish. I don't know if that's going to have people running for their credit cards to renew season tickets. So the one big name that John Neighbors put out there is John Gruden, which I don't know if John Gruden can coach football in the year 2025, 2026, but he's a guy that would get the fan base excited. I mean, people would be running for their checkbooks to buy season tickets. So we'll see on the Arkansas front, but certainly they had a long season to go.
We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on ESPN 106.7. And I know you may not want to talk about it, but we got to what happened in Oxford last Saturday, 24-19. Lane Kiffin and the Rebels win the big one over a top-5 team in LSU. Man, what in the world happened to the LSU offense? For a defense that played good enough, the offense just simply couldn't get it done.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, their defense, I still have tremendous faith in. I think this is a national championship caliber defense, but the offense stinks. And You know, if you're going to tell me that they're going to hold, you know, Ole Miss to 24 points or less, I would have been like, well, that's a win for LSU. You know, in a typical year, it would be. LSU wins 31-24 or something like that. But they scored 19, and it's because Garrett Nussmeier is not healthy. They're trying to, you know, sidestep it all they can. You know, 1 week, Brian Kelly says, oh, yeah, he's got a little injury to deal with. Then the next week, no, he's fully healthy. I mean, it's like this thing's back and forth. After the game, Nussmeier asked him about it. He says, I'm not going to answer any questions about my health. And I go, okay, well, it's one or the other, dude. Either one, you're hurt, or two, you just suck now. So which one is it? I mean, because he has looked like a completely different quarterback from the guy who threw for 4,000 yards last year and was leading a high-flying offense for LSU. So, like I said, either he's hurt and we're going to, you know, we're going to see if this bye week helps get him better and get him healthy, or he just sucks now and LSU should make a change of quarterback and go to Michael Van Buren. I don't think that's the case. I think he's hurt, but, you know, Brian Kelly said a few weeks ago, he's like, we just need to get to the bye week. We just need to get to the bye week. Okay, we got to the bye week, so we should. I'm fully expecting we'll see a much different Garrett Nussmeier down the backstretch of the season for LSU. And if they do that, I mean, let's be frank, they'll be right back in the national championship picture, but they got some tough games to get through before they can get there.
Ole Miss moves to 5-0 and 3-0 in SEC play. And then the other big game of the weekend, Alabama and Georgia. Alabama puts up 24 points in the second, or in the first half, is blanked in the second half, but still finds a way to win. They win at 24-21. Just your overall thoughts from that game inside Sanford Stadium under the lights.
Yeah, a big-time win for Kalen DeBoer. I thought he had those guys ready to play from the get-go. They came out of the gates. They were the aggressor on offense and defense. I just thought they played a phenomenal game. Yeah, it took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit in the second half, but, you know, ended up being enough. Their defense, you know, stymied Georgia enough to get the win. And I don't know what it is with Kirby Smart, man, but when he sees that crimson red coming at him, he forgets football. He forgets how to coach. He forgets, you know, how to coach smart. I mean, it's just, it's a weird, weird thing. And now Kalen DeBoer is 2-0 in his tenure at Alabama against Kirby Smart. So, yeah, look, it's on them to not have the letdown, which they had last year. You get the big win over Georgia, and then you have the letdown loss at Vanderbilt. Can't do that again, but, man, just very impressive because, we talked about it. Alabama under Kalen DeBoer struggled very much on the road. We thought Georgia was a really good team. So, you know, I think everybody and their brother was picking Georgia last week. I got to give Alabama a hat tip. I did not think that they would play that well. Now that said, you got to keep doing it. You know, just because we give them credit 1 week doesn't mean Alabama's going to go play for a national championship this year. They still got a lot of landmines on the schedule. But if they can weather the storm these next 3 weeks, that'll tell us a lot about this Alabama team.
Chris, do you think, going back to Kirby Smart, do you think when it comes to a history like that, that everybody knows about and obviously Kirby knows about and even just Georgia and Alabama in general, do you think it gets to the point of trying to almost outcoach yourself doing things that you wouldn't traditionally do to try and get that win and then obviously it doesn't end up working out? Or do you think it's just simply you feel like you're cursed if you're Kirby Smart going up against Alabama?
Well, I thought it was a Saban thing, right? Like, I thought it was, you know, Obi-Wan and Luke Skywalker and, oh, he's just never going to beat him. But this is DeBoer. This is a different Alabama team. So, yeah, it tells me it's the Empire. It's not just, I don't know. I got lost in my Star Wars references there. But, you know, to me, yes. I mean, late in that game where they should take the field goal to tie the game, yeah, they go for it. And a shoestring tackle on Cass Jones, loses balance and falls to the ground. It's a turnover. Any other time, traditional Kirby Smart would say you take the points there, tie right. The game. Let's keep this thing going. So, yeah, he certainly makes some dumb decisions when he's playing against Alabama, no doubt.
Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast. We're talking to him on the phone lines right now. We look ahead to what this weekend is. Not as deep or maybe exciting on paper, but potential is always there, Chris, in the Southeastern Conference. We won't make you pick the Georgia massacre over your wife's Kentucky Wildcats, and then, of course, Oklahoma taking on Kent State this weekend as well. But three could be good games in the Southeastern Conference. Texas looking for the first P4 win on the year. They go on the road to the Swamp. Top 25 matchup, Vanderbilt and Alabama. And then Mississippi State on the road for a blackout with Texas A&M. Your thoughts on those three matchups?
Yeah, I'll start with A&M and Mississippi State. It's the battle of the maroons. I think whoever loses this game should never wear maroon again. I think the winner gets to call themselves the maroon champs. But I've been told I think A&M is going to wear black uniforms in this one, so that'll solve the maroon problem. But, no, super impressed with A&M's defense last week against Auburn. I was kind of poo-pooing them all year long. I thought they gave up a ton of points and yards to Notre Dame and, you know, Utah State and the teams they played earlier in the year. And they looked like the A&M traditional Mike Elko defense last week that we kind of expected. And so, yeah, we'll see what they can do if they can slow down this Jeff Levy offense. I heard Elko say yesterday, it's like defending the triple option. Jeff Levy just likes to spread the ball, you know, the field out so much from sideline to sideline. You got to defend the whole field, and it just makes it difficult. And I think Mississippi State with Blake Chapin and these running backs, Fluff Bothwell and Devon Booth, like, I think they've got some weapons that they can hang around in this one. So I'll be fascinated to see, but it is a night game in College Station, so it's advantage Aggies. But I think Mississippi State can hang. Texas, Florida is a dangerous spot for Texas. The more I started deep diving into Texas guys, they I don't know what this team is. I mean, week one against Ohio State, we saw the defense play very well. Of course, it was the first start for Julian Fain at quarterback. And the offense looked terrible, and then they played three cupcakes. So we have no idea. The Texas has not played a decent opponent since Ohio State week one. We have no idea what this team is. It's going to be Arch Manning's first road SEC game. He's not exactly been lighting the world on fire in the passing game. So, and I heard Lewis Riddick say this week, you know, just blitz him. If you're Florida, he is so less accurate on the run. Make him get uncomfortable and out of the pocket, and, you know, this could be close. I mean, I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. First one to 20 points wins, and DJ Lagway getting Dallas Wilson back, the big five-star freshman that hasn't played a down yet. He was the star of their spring game. That's a nice added weapon to get back. I know Billy Napier gave the traditional DJ Lagway had, quote, the best week of practice he's had yet.
Oh, God.
So we'll see. But I think if Texas plays sloppy, man, Florida's going to hang around. Their backfield, which was supposed to be a strength for Texas, I saw C.J. Baxter is questionable, and Trey Wisner is I think he's questionable. So, like, we're going to see. If they don't have their backs to go, Texas could find themselves in a tight game. On the flip side, this could be Arch's coming out party. He could throw for a ton of yards, a bunch of touchdowns, and we crown him. Okay, there's Arch Manning that we all expected. And then lastly, Alabama Vandy. Yeah, I mean, look, I think the way Vandy's playing right now, averaging 49 points a game, Alabama's got to slow him down. And I do think this game in Tuscaloosa is the edge for Alabama. Kalen DeBoer has not lost a home game at Bryant-Denny since he's taken over. Ty Simpson has not thrown an interception yet on the season. I think this is the week that Vanderbilt makes the mistakes. You know, Diego Pavia throws an interception. There's a bad fumble, something that doesn't go their way. That's the advantage Alabama. And it's a revenge game, guys. You gotta put that out there. Alabama wants revenge on Vanderbilt after the big loss last year. So, look, I love this game. Nothing would warm my heart more than to see Vanderbilt go do it again and beat Alabama a second year in a row. And I think it would be hilarious to say that Kalen DeBoer is 2-0 versus Kirby Smart, but 0-2 versus Clark Lee.
Wouldn't that be something? And if there's anybody to do it, it's Diego Pavia, who is so Johnny Manziel-like when it comes to making plays, winning plays, and just finding dirty ways to get it done in a big football game like this. So, yeah.
Yeah, if I'm picking a role model, I don't think I'm picking Johnny Manziel to be my role model and mentor, but that's just me. And, hey, real quick, the Kentucky-Georgia game, I didn't get to use my best line. First time ever we get a cutter versus a gunner in a game. And as you know, guys, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
How many times have you used that this week, Chris?
Probably 5 or 6.
Hey, do you want to hear? I know we got to let you go. We've kept you really long. Would you like to know the winning percentage stat that we found in our previous segment before having you on for football and basketball between Georgia and Kentucky? Are you ready for this? Georgia football has an 82% winning percentage over Kentucky football all time. Again, Georgia 82% winning percentage over Kentucky football all time. Kentucky basketball's winning percentage versus Georgia all time? How about this? 82%, Chris. Can you believe that?
Well, it's a yin and a yang, and you've got to have an equal push there. But hey, 2009 wasn't all that long ago. That's the last time Kentucky beat Georgia. Can they do it again? Man, if that happens, Kirby, I mean, we might have to start looking at what his buyout is.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Georgia favored by 20.5. If they lose that game, the world would truly flip upside down. Chris Courtney, Locked On SEC, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Plug it all. Tell the people where you are and what you got coming up for this weekend.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast. I've had some great guests throughout the week talking everything, all things SEC on tomorrow's show. We're going to tape a segment with David Cohn from Crane and Company and get his thoughts on the weekend games. And our celebrity guest picker segment continues. We had Taylor Hicks, former American Idol winner, last week. You'll have to tune in tomorrow to see who our celebrity guest picker is this week.
We don't get another hint this week?
A former pro baseball player.
Oh, okay.
Can I get a position?
Infielder.
Infield. There you go. Okay. We'll see what we can come up with. You have to tune in Locked On SEC tomorrow. Chris, we appreciate you hanging around with us and talking with us each Thursday. Enjoy the weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. Go check it out. And, yeah, celebrity guest picker.
Infielder did
you,
not.
You help. Asked You asked for clarification on a position. Former baseball player, and you said, give me a position. Like that was going to give you any sort of more insight on what the person is.
No, but...
And then he and
was
then
hoping
he,
for like
he hit
a
you
left
with a,
fielder or
nah,
second
he hit
baseman.
You with infielder.
Hey, that cuts it down a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. So, yeah, if you can guess this on the fact that he's a former Major League Baseball player and he's an infielder, then if you can guess it, I will I'll give you a big thumbs up. All right, so we got to get to break because we're running out of time. We went long with Chris. Again, we appreciate him. Go check him out, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast or on YouTube as well. We're back after this to wrap up the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. It's been jam-packed with guests, as it typically is on Thursdays throughout football season. We had Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network in hour number one. Had Coach Keith Etheridge, the head man for Auburn High School football, with us right at 3 o'clock to start hour number two. And we just got off the phone with Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. So if you missed any of those conversations, we also talked Auburn basketball to start today's show as well. If you missed any of that, go back and listen to the podcast version of the show at ESPNAU.com. I texted your guesses to Chris Gordy about his celeb picker for tomorrow. It is not your guesses. He said it's not really SEC connected, but his daughters go to SEC schools. Ah, okay. He told me who it is. I'm not going to show.
I'm not, but give me the.
His daughters go to SEC schools. I don't know how that's going to help you, but.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you who it is off the air. Tune into Locked On SEC tomorrow for Chris Gordy's celeb guest picker.
Dang,
but tune into
good
us.
Guesses.
Those were pretty good guesses. And it's a good assumption they were connected to the SEC, but they're not. So, okay, tune into us tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. We're going to have our man Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Also a cool Auburn coach interview for you tomorrow on Free for All Friday. And then we make our picks for another week of college football. That's 2 to 4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.